1649. If we got a Bible like theirs. Ephesians 3 and 20, which says, unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think, according to what? The power that works in us. Are we desiring to see the exceeding and abundantly take effect here in the world, in our situations? And it's going to be through the power that works through you and I. What are you willing to do to see the exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think? Are you willing to sacrifice? Are you willing to deny this flesh in order to see God operate in the miraculous? We have to deny this flesh. This flesh is stopping some of us from walking into our destiny. This flesh is stopping us to walking into our purpose and seeing God operate on our behalf. It's time we, the Christians, rise up and understand who we really are, who we really serve, and understand the true power that you and I possess because of what Jesus did on the cross. Amen? What kind of power do you truly possess? Remember, he made you and I kings and lords of this earth. This is our responsibility. This isn't his responsibility. He gave us dominion and power here. But he desires to have a relationship with us, and we have to ask him in and lead and guide us in the direction that we're to go. He gave us dominion here for us to till up this ground, for us to lead it and guide it and build it up, but according to the scriptures, not according to what we think, not according to what our flesh wants, but according to what the Holy Scriptures say. Amen?
Amen.
Who needs a miracle in their life today? Who needs a miracle in their body, in their finances, in their marriages? God is still in the miracle business. And he desires that you be wealthy,
yes.
Healthy. He desires that you be wise.
Yes. Amen.
What are we willing to do? Are we willing to sacrifice? Are we willing to go into a wilderness where we don't know where we're going?
Yes.
Are we willing to do whatever it is he tells us to do in order to get what it is he wants us to get? Let's look at some of the miracles that took place in the Bible. The Old Testament records 83 miracles. The New Testament records about 81 miracles. So let's look at some of those miracles that were performed. Matthew 14 says, Jesus fed the multitude with what?
Five loaves and two fish.
Go ahead, Charles. David. The multitude means about 5,000 people. Can you feed the multitude with five loaves and two fish? Miracle. Exodus 16 talks about God fed the Israelites manna from heaven. They're out in the wilderness. They ain't running to Walmart to grab some groceries. How are they going to eat? And he sends manna every single day that they may be fed and nourished. Jonah 2. Jonah was swallowed by the large fish, or the whale in which we see it. It spits him back out, and he goes what and says what thus saith the Lord. Amen. Daniel 3, we just talked about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego thrown in the fiery furnace because they wouldn't bow down to another god. And they walk out unscathed, not burnt, no ash smell. What about Matthew 14 when Jesus and Peter walked on the water? We know in this house they didn't walk on water. They walked on the Word of God. And when God tells you to go forth, you can do the impossible.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
What about John 2 where Jesus turned water into wine? His very first miracle on the earth.
Yeah.
What's he say? Just do whatever she tells you to do. And then we can't leave out in Matthew 1 the Immaculate Conception. When the Virgin Mary The anointing comes upon her where the Holy Ghost impregnates her with Emmanuel, God with us. The Christ. Jackie, can you get pregnant now with... Come on. The Immaculate Conception. The miracle above miracles. When God chooses a little girl. Is God choosing you for something today? What has God chosen you to do on this earth that will bring Him glory? Today, we're going to open up our Bibles and we're going to look in Exodus 12. We'll be in 12, 13, 14. I want you to go to Exodus 13 and 17 is when we get into the Word, and we'll start from there. But as I began to study, I didn't understand what God was saying when He said, making the possible impossible. I didn't know what direction He was taking me, but I knew it was somewhere. And then as I sat down and I began to study, I heard Him say, do not give up. I do not know who I'm talking to in this sanctuary, who I'm talking to on our internet, or who I'm talking to here on Facebook. But God is telling somebody, do not give up. Somebody has said, I'm tired. Somebody said, I'm giving up. Somebody is going to sit down and abort their blessing because they're wore out. The enemy has come in like a flood. But remember, the Lord said, I'll raise up a standard. Yes. Somebody is wanting to give up. And the Lord is speaking to you today and saying, do not give up. Your breakthrough is just on the other side. The Bible says that we're to count it joy when we fall into these diverse temptations, when we're into these tests and trials and everything's coming against us. That's when we're to count it joy. It doesn't feel good, does it, Jackie? No. Who wants to celebrate when I'm getting bombarded? When I'm laying here dying in pain? When I'm in chronic pain? When I don't have money to pay my bills? Who wants to praise the Lord at that time? But He says, count it joy when you're there. Because on the other side is your breakthrough. Amen? Amen. So, do not give up. I don't know who you are. Do not give up. Now to lay a foundation here to get into our study here, we're talking about the Red Sea. The Red Sea being split. That's a miracle. That's right, Charles David. It's a miracle. The Israelites were in captivity for about 430 years. You think you'd want to give up after 430 years? 430 years is about 17 generations. That would be about my 14th great-grandparents. Them to me in bondage. It seems like that's the status quo, right? This is our allotment in life. This is where I'm going to be. We get comfortable. We might not like where we are, but sometimes we get comfortable there because we know what we have. I've got a house. They're in bondage, but I have a house. They're in bondage, but Pharaoh's feeding me. And sometimes we abort our mission or our destiny for comfort because we don't want to step out into the wilderness, into the unknown, to allow God to reveal His awesome power. Amen? We know that God called Moses to lead the Israelites out of captivity. That's what Moses was called for. What if Moses denied it and said, I'm not doing it? Would we be here today? What if Mary said, you've lost your darn mind? Oh no, I'm not doing this. I'm not going to be ridiculed by the public. You know, the public has an opinion. They're going to be talking about her. She's going to be Hebrew trailer trash. Right? She even faced death. Right? They could have stoned her to death. But what did she say? Bid it unto me. Not my will, but your will. Are we willing to say, bid it unto me? Not my will. Not what I think, not what I want to do, but your will, O God. Where would we have be today if she had never said, bid it unto me? The decisions that we make have an effect down the road. They affect our children. They affect our grandchildren. The decisions we make right now, are you willing to sacrifice yourself now for your family down the road? We know that Moses and Aaron went before Pharaoh. Pharaoh's the one that had them in captivity. We know that Moses didn't speak well, so he had to have a side partner to go with him and speak on his behalf, right? Really didn't allow God to anoint him to speak himself, but he allowed Aaron to go with him. God sent 10 plagues their way. Why? Because Pharaoh was like, you're crazy. I'm not letting go my servants. I'm not giving up my cash cow because these two right here come up in here and told me, let my people go. So then God steps in. And when God steps in, see, we can do things in our strength. But when God steps in, he's doing it in his strength. What'd he do? He turned water into blood. There's their streams. There's their water source turned to blood. Millions of frogs. Infestation of lice. We know our school superintendents and teachers, and so they know about lice and what lice can do. What about the swarm of flies? Ask my dad. He knows I cannot stand flies. I'm standing there with a fly swatter. Hitting the flies. We have diseased livestock. Okay, now we're affecting the way we plow the fields. Cash cow. We're hitting the economy. What's happening to America? Our economy's being hit. Boils on their bodies and their livestock. Boils aren't just knots. They hurt. Painful. Anybody experience chronic pain? It's debilitating. You can't see and think right. Torrential storms. We just had a storm last night. Nothing like this. Nothing like these winds, these hail storms and the rain. He then comes in with an infestation of locusts, eating up their vegetation, eating up their food source. Then, the icing on the cake. What is it? The death of the firstborn, including Pharaoh's. You touch me, but touch my children. It's a whole different story. Amen? We women know, you touch our babies, it's a different story. And Pharaoh decides, I've had enough. I can't deal with this anymore. Go ahead and take your people. So in Exodus 13, what does Exodus mean? To leave, a mass exodus, a mass leaving. So if it's a mass exodus, that means there's a lot of people getting ready to leave up out of Egypt. Amen? So, miracle one is the fact that, okay, it says that 600,000 men on foot was leaving. But we also know there are children and there are wives that's going to come along as well. So scholars look at this to about 3 million people. How do you organize 3 million people to get up and move when God says move? That in itself, just Little Ironton with 11,000, it's hard to get everybody in line. So you know that was a miracle to be able to have a communication system in place that people knew when we were leaving and when we're exiting. On top of that, their livestock came. So their flock, their herd, and their cattle came. On top of that, it says in Exodus 12 and 38, a mixed multitude, these are sympathizing Israelites. Not everybody in Egypt liked slavery. Not everybody in America likes slavery. Not everybody in America supports racism. Some of the Israelites saying, we're going up with you, we're supporting you. Exodus 12 and 36 says, the Lord gave them favor with the Egyptians, and they gave them such things as required. Gold, silver, things that they needed to leave and to support themselves. God gave them favor. In the midst of bondage, God has given them favor. Did Pharaoh give up? Did Pharaoh say, yes, go ahead, we're tired? Did he come to his senses? His senses, not God's, his senses. Okay, let's pick this up in Exodus 13, verse 17. And it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, now listen, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near, for God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war and they return to Egypt. He didn't take them the way that Pharaoh thought they would take them. We're not going to go through the Philistine land. I'm taking you somewhere else. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. And the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him. For he, Joseph, had straitly sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones away hence with you. He told them, a time's going to come. A time is coming when you're going to flee up out of here. Take my bones with you. And they took their journey from Succoth and encamped in Etham in the edge of the wilderness. Miracle number two. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. Not only did God bring them out of captivity, but he also walked with them. He led them out of the wilderness. All they had to do was go wherever he told them to go. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night, but before the people. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel that they turn and encamp before Pi-Hahiroth, between Migdal and the sea, over against Baal-Zephon, before it shall you encamp by the sea. Oh, well, let's just stop right here. This is a little easier and closer. No. He gave them specific directions on where to camp. He gives each and every one of us specific directions of where he wants us to be. He wants us to speak when he says speak. There's times he wants us to be silent when he wants us to be silent. He has got a perfect divine plan for each and every one of us if we will follow what thus saith the Lord. And how many times have we said in here that we have to be before him before we can hear what thus saith the Lord? We have to know what the scripture is before we know what thus saith the Lord. That means we got to sacrifice this flesh. We can't do what we want to do, but we got to be in God's presence and allow him to work on our behalf. For Pharaoh, it goes on to say, for Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, we're in 3:14-3, they are entangled in the land, the wilderness has shut them in. Pharaoh, he's excited right now. You should have went this way, he thought. Go down through this land of the Philistine. But now you went over here by the Red Sea. I've got you right where I want you. You can't go anywhere because that sea is blocking you, right? And I will harden, the Lord goes on and says, I will harden Pharaoh's heart that he shall follow after them. Okay. God hardened Pharaoh's heart. God, you just took us out of bondage. Now you're going to allow the guy that had us in bondage to come after us. What's this about? Didn't make any sense, does it, Charles David? You got us out of there, but you yourself is hardening his heart to come after us. The other part of 4, and I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. Why did he allow them to come? Because he's going to show them exactly who he is. He's going to show Pharaoh exactly who he is. And when he puts you and I into a situation, he's trying to show the world exactly who he is. If we don't ever experience sickness, how do we know there's a God that heals? If we're never in bondage somehow, how do we know that we serve a God that is a deliverer? We are the vessels that God uses to bring His self glory. And we have to know that God is for us and not against us. That if we have to go through a situation, if He's brought us to it, we'll be able to go through it. He's already equipped you to go through that hard task if you're willing to trust Him. Number 5 says, and it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled. And the heart of Pharaoh and of his servant was turned against the people, and they said, why have we done this? That we have let Israel go from serving us. We've let our cash cow walk right out the door. 3 million people. Do you know what that's going to do to the economy?
Yeah.
3 million people. 6 says, and he, Pharaoh, made ready his chariot and took his people with him. And he took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt and captains over every one of them. We're looking at, saints, about 50,000 horsemen, about 200,000 men on foot. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with a high hand. What's that mean? Pride. They got confident. We're up out of here. So we're on our way. They're oblivious to the fact that Pharaoh, the enemy, is on their heels. They're just glad to be out of bondage. I'm sure there's some that lay back over here and say, "Woo, wait a minute, I don't know about this. I'm not sure about this." But look, they got so far out. Now they're content, right? But the Egyptians pursued after them, all the horses, the chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen, and his army, and overtook them encamping by the sea. And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians march after them. And they were afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. They got a little arrogant there for a second. Now the enemy's on their heels. Now we're crying out unto the Lord. How many times we do that? When life's going good, we forget about prayer. We forget about studying. We forget about staying before our God. But boy, when we get into that valley, how many times are we immediately saying, "Oh God, help me"? Isn't that our normal flesh? We do that. Katrina does that. I know you all are perfect. But Katrina has been in that situation. 11 says, and they said unto Moses, "Be there where no graves in Egypt. But have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore have you dealt with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? We were comfortable back there. What are you thinking? You're going to bring us out here into the wilderness. We have no place to live. How are we going to get our food?" Now we start murmuring and complaining. The enemy's on our heels, right? Where are we going? We're stuck. Our back's against the sea. Where are we going? Is it not this the word that we did tell you in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? Boy, we're quick to go back, aren't we? We're quick to go back to our comfort zone where we knew we had a place to lay our head down. We knew we had a place that we were being fed. Now, was I able to exercise my God-given dominion and power? No, but this is my comfort zone. What did I always say? Our welfare has become our comfort zone. Well, it's all right. I'm going to stay right here. Least I can be fed. Least I got a roof over my head. Here's my comfort zone. But God doesn't want that. He wants you to trust in Him. He wants to lead you to where you need to go and where He wants you to go. For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. It's better to be in bondage, to be enslaved, than to be out here in the wilderness. Wow. Where's our true faith in the God we serve? That He's able to do what we said earlier, the exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think. How quick we get into our flesh. We've seen Him let us go. We've seen Him lead and guide us. But now we're quick to go back to our comfort zone. Saints, we're not going back to our comfort zone. We're moving forward. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. When the enemy is on your heels, if God is before us and not against us, fear not. Stand and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will show to you today. Okay? Today. Not in the meantime, not down the road. He's telling today, this is going to be the last day that you're going to deal with this situation. So many times we go through tests and trials and we mess up. And we got to repeat that test and trial. In school, you make a bad grade. You got to do it till you get it right. Not really, but you want to do it until you get it right. Do you want an F or do you want an A? We're going to go through that test and trial until we get an A, a passing grade. Amen. Amen? For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. We're done. I know that sea is right there. I know it looks grim. I don't know what you're dealing with today, and I know it looks grim. But I'm here to tell you that God has you. Fear not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord work on your behalf. 14, the Lord shall fight for you and you shall hold your peace. Hallelujah. The Lord will fight for you. We here in America, we love to go out here and do it on our own. Nothing's happening. We gotta group and do it for ourselves. This is not what the Bible says. The Bible says, the Lord shall fight for you. The Lord shall fight for you. Hold your peace. Yes. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore do you cry unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. Here's another miracle. But you, Moses, lift up your rod, stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it. Jackie, go on out here to the Ohio River and I want you to divide the sea. We don't have that kind of authority. But when the Spirit of the Lord rests upon us, when He tells us to do something, there comes the power that we can't possess. The impossible becomes possible when God says, do it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground. Miracle number 4. On dry ground. Go walk in the river right now. What's on the bottom? Yep. Slush, silt, mud. You're not going to get across that real easily, are you? But He said they're going to walk across dry land. God is trying to develop a firm foundation upon which you and I walk, or He has developed it. We have to trust it. We have to trust that when He says go, we go. We have to trust that when He says move, we're going to move. And if that road does not look like it's solid, trust me, it is solid. The same way Jesus and Peter walked on the water, that's not reality in the normal realm. But when God speaks His word, the word is solid, and it is something for you and I to stand on. 17, and I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them, and I will get my honor upon Pharaoh, and upon all his host, upon the chariots, and upon his horsemen. God's going to get His glory. God is going to get His glory through your situation. It may seem deep or grim and dark, but God will get His glory if you allow Him. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord. Your enemy is sure enough going to understand that He is God. He still sits on His throne. Back in this time period and 2020, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. How many times have we been in a situation and we said, I don't see God. I don't feel Him. We were just singing about it. He's working. But look what it says. He went before the camp of Israel, removed, and then went behind him. God will lead us in a direction that He wants us to go. But when the enemy is hot on our tails, God goes from the front, and then He goes to the back, and He puts up a hedge of protection that the enemy cannot come in and devour you and me. So we may not see Him. We may not feel Him because we're at the front of the pack. We're at the almost at the end of our trial. Because He done jumped ship. He went to the back and He put up a hedge of protection. I'll never leave you or forsake you. I've got you. Just fear not. Stand and see the salvation of the Lord. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud and a darkness to them, but it gave light by the night to these, so that one came not near the other all the night. All night long. Here's this hedge of protection. It's dark. The enemy's trying to find out where they're at. They can't see, but God is shining His light on His people. Here's this hedge of protection. God is there for you in the midst of whatever you're going through. He is trying to confuse the enemy and shine a light upon you so you continue to walk down your path. 21. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. He's working on your behalf. Here comes the sea. It's beginning to part. These winds have come so strong that it's drying up the land for you to walk into your destiny. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground. What if they would have kicked their heels in and said, oh, what if that water falls down on top of me? Oh, wait a minute, what if I go out there and get caught in that mud that was there before? So many times we question God. We question where He's leading and guiding us. What if? And the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. God has placed a hedge of protection around us. When we serve Him, when we worship Him in spirit and in truth, when we operate according to His laws, there is a hedge of protection that the enemy cannot destroy us. And the Egyptian pursued and went in after them in the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. Everything Pharaoh had, I'm not just coming after you, Pharaoh. I'm not stopping you. But I'm stopping everything that's attached to you. I'm going to show who I am. You thought you had authority. 430 years you operated in this authority. But I'm walking in and I'm going to destroy everything that you have. And it came to pass that in the morning watch, at the morning watch, the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud and troubled the host of the Egyptians. He confused them. Oh my, what's going on? I can't see. It's dark out here. And took off their chariot wheels. Yeah, drive a chariot without the wheels. See how far you get. That they drove them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, "Let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fights for them against the Egyptians." They recognized quickly, God is fighting their battles. This makes no sense whatsoever. Who can split a sea? Who can prepare dry ground for them to escape? And the Lord said unto Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots, and upon their horsemen." The children get out, and now the Lord is bringing the sea back and going to destroy Pharaoh. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to the strength when the morning appeared. And the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. And the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them. Saints, I'm here to tell you, God is going before you. God is walking and developing a path for you to go down. If He is not in front of you, He is behind you. He is on your heels. He is standing before the enemy. He is putting a hedge of protection up. He is telling you that I will be for you and not against you. This is the God that we serve. The same God that took care of the children of Israel is the same God that will take care of you and me. In this time when everybody is against our country, everybody is desiring to see our country fail so that we can come into this new world order, God will still raise up a standard for you and I. He says to fear not, for I am with you. I've not given you a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. We don't have to fear the coronavirus. We don't have to fear protests. We don't have to fear anything. God will raise up a standard on our behalf. Will we have to go through something? Yes. They had to go through something. Jesus was tortured. We're going to go through something. But God said, I will go with you. I will stand beside you. I will go behind you and protect you. We serve a God that still sits on His throne. We still serve a God that is in the miracle performing business. If you need a miracle, just ask Him. Get in His presence. Know what His Word is saying to you and me. Understand His ways. He says, "My ways aren't your ways, Jackie. Nor are my thoughts your thoughts, Carol. They're higher." We operate and we fight in the spirit realm. We don't fight against flesh and blood. We don't fight one race fight against another race. We Christians, we're not supposed to be involved in that. We're supposed to be on our knees in prayer, seeking God, seeking answer, seeking a resolution. God loves us unconditionally. He's not looking for a perfect person. Being no flaws. He's looking for someone that will get in line and operate according to what He has called them. Are you ready to get in line? Are you ready to get into position and allow God to use you? It is time we Christians speak up. I know our Caucasian world. Listen, we're taught as women, to be gentle and kind. And yes, we're supposed to do that. But hey, we're in war right now. God, give us a suit of armor. Yes, we're still to be kind and courteous in the fleshly realm. But hey, we need to get into prayer. And we need to go into war. We need to pull out that sword of the Spirit and go after the enemy. We need to seek Him out in prayer. We have issues that have arisen and we need to know an answer. God is still on His throne, saints. Let's all stand. God is able to do the exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that works in you and me. Now, what power is it that you seek? Are you seeking His power? Are you willing to do what it takes to obtain His power? God loves us, and He desires that we be prosperous. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, if there is such a one in this house that desires to seek after You, that desires to grow stronger in You, that just doesn't really understand all of this Christian stuff, if there's one of us in here that desires to be healed, if there's one that desires that their finances be renewed or marriages brought back together and strengthened, I'm asking, oh God, that You would reveal that to them. I'm asking, oh God, if there's one in here that has not accepted You as their Lord and Savior, that they would come forth and that they would seek after You. We thank You, God. I worship You. I worship You this morning, oh God. You are worthy. You are holy and righteous. We thank You, God, for Your anointing. We thank You for Your word today, oh God. We know, oh God, that You will raise up a standard on our behalf. We know, oh God, that You will go before us in a pillar of cloud. But then You will go behind us and protect us, dear Heavenly Father. And we just thank You, oh God. We ask, dear Heavenly Father, that You would just open up our eyes to truth. Help us when we leave this church, dear Heavenly Father, and we go out into the community, that we are a light unto the world. Give us words to speak to people. Give us a boldness that we stand up for our faith. It's in God we trust. Now, Father, lead and guide us. Bless Your people as they leave this place, oh God. We'll be careful to give You the praise, the glory, and the honor. And in Jesus' name we say, amen. 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 Amen.